in the midst of judgment being poured out upon this Christ-rejecting world, the Holy Spirit inserts two chapters, the 17th and the 18th of Revelation, to disclose the nature of the crimes that have called forth such judgment and the justice of God's fierce anger upon mankind. The first sets forth mystic Babylon, that is the 17th chapter, giving us a picture of the Antichrist harlot wife. And the second, or 18th, describes the destruction of the great city of Babylon. Immediately following these two chapters, heaven utters again a mighty amen to God's judgment and declares God to be righteous and just. Before we come to the 17th chapter, we want to look at two references to God's hatred of Babylon. The first is in Revelation 14:8. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In the next reference is Revelation 16:19. And great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. Here we see God's hatred for mystic Babylon as well as for the city of Babylon. From the very beginning, since the flood, when she became the seat of idolatry and spread idolatry over the entire earth unto the present time. Now, my friends, if you ever listen, I want you to listen to this message. Will you listen? The 17th chapter opens with this statement. And there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven bowls, and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore, or harlot, that sitteth upon many waters. One of the priest angels, who administered the last bowls of judgment upon a Christless world, probably the seventh, said to John, come hither, I want to show thee the harlot wife of the Antichrist. I want you to see professing Christendom as God looks upon it, which is godless, Christless, and which is under the judgment of a sin-avenging God. Before judgment falls, I want you to see it, John. I want you to write it. I want you to tell the church through all the centuries what's going to happen to the apostate church, the harlot wife of the Antichrist. Let's first notice why she is called the harlot wife of the Antichrist. John gives us two reasons in verse 2. First, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication. Second, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication. The first reason she is called the harlot wife of the Antichrist is that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her. Now listen, now you hold your seats now. In the scriptures there are two aspects of fornication. One is physical, the other is spiritual. When it says that the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, it is referring to both aspects of fornication. You cannot separate physical fornication from spiritual fornication. One is a manifestation of the other. They are interlinked and inseparable. They both flourish together, and they are both broken together. A sinner cannot be delivered from the power of sin, get it, until he turns to God from his idols. The Lord Jesus Christ has had a visible church in all ages, composed of blood-bought believers, the called-out ones who have been made new creatures in Christ, embodying the wisdom and spirit of heaven, and maintaining the confession of Christ, his truth, and pure worship. Also the devil, on the other hand, has had his church, a visible church, embodying all the sensual, all the devilish wisdom, and the spirit of hell, and maintaining a system of beliefs, philosophies of life, and teachings composed of Satan's lies. These two, the true and the false churches, have lived side by side throughout the millenniums. Therefore, when people worship a God, get it now, who is not the Lord God of heaven, and give their hearts and devotions and sacrifices to idols, instituting systems and setting up rituals and formulating doctrines that take the place of Jehovah God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says they commit whoredom, idolatry, and fornication. It is this system of false religion, false doctrine, and false church that the kings of the earth have used throughout the centuries to promote their ambitions and plans and programs to bring the people in slavery unto them and hold them. Thereby the kings of the earth have committed fornication with the harlot wife of the Antichrist. Now listen, in the second reason she is called the harlot wife of the Antichrist is because the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk by the wine of her fornication. What is the wine of old Babylon's fornication? It is the debauchering, degrading, hellish system of idol worship with its carnal self-gratification. Let me emphasize this fact again. Fornication, both physical and spiritual, always accompanies religion without Christ. When people are led away from the worship of the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they do not know Him experimentally, and they do not know the cleansing from sin by His precious blood, then lewdness, carnality, fleshly gratification always accompanies their false religion. The sacredness of marriage holds no place with them. They may go through the form of marriage, but marriage is not sacred to them. God's divine law says the true believer loves the Lord our God with all of his heart. Get it now? With all of his mind, all of his soul, and all of his strength. Then when an individual bestows his worship, his affections, on any other than the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of what it is, by the very nature of the case, he is committing spiritual fornication or spiritual harlotry. Spiritual harlotry inflames all the carnal nature and passion of an individual's heart and mind and body for self-gratification, which leads to fornication, adultery, whoredom, sodomy, and every other type of sex perversion. You get that? So the inhabitants of the earth today are drunk on the wine of Babylon's fornication. They have a form of religion, but they deny the power thereof, which is the blood redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only type of religion the average person will have today, being drunk on the wine of Babylon's fornication, is something that will kind of soothe his conscience so he can continue to live a life of self-gratification. Therefore, the world today is drifting into a state of lewdness and mass fornication or amorality under the cloak of religion, the religion of old Babylon. So the world today is drunk on the wine of Babylon's fornication. I mean drunk. They are staggering toward the pit of damnation and the final judgment of a sin-avenging God. The world as a whole today is leaving God no alternative except to pour out his wrath upon him. Now you listen. Let's notice the description God gives us of this harlot wife beginning in Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit in the wilderness. The world here is looked upon as a wilderness. He has shown this harlot wife, whom the scripture calls the great whore, sitting upon many waters. Verse 15 tells us that the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So John is looking at the entire world population drunk on the wine of Babylon's fornication. Now let's read Revelation 17:3-6. And I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-clothed beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. And upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. The woman is sitting upon a scarlet-covered beast. The beast, we are told, is the Antichrist in verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and shall go into perdition. So we see that she is connected with the Antichrist. We are told then that the beast is full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. these seven heads are seven mountains. Verse 9, and that is seven kings, as explained in verse 10, are kingdoms dating back from Nebuchadnezzar of the old Babylonian kingdom through the Roman Empire and up to the present hour. The ten horns are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Verse 12, verse 13 tells us, they will give their authority to the beast, and they will follow him into perdition. Who those ten kings will be, the scripture does not tell us, but they will rise in due time and will support the Antichrist and his program. Then we find in verse 4 that the woman, harlot wife, was arrayed in purple and scarlet color. The purple of royalty means she stands high with the kings. She sits as queen with the kings of the earth. The kings have always bowed before her. They have always honored her as queen. No potentate can rule his kingdom without a false religion. Her scarlet colored garments signifies the clothes of a harlot. Her red shoes and robes are gaudy, shiny, outstanding, attracting attention, covers a life of lewdness, fornication, idolatry, homosexuality, and perversion. Also, she is decked with gold, precious stones, pearls, that is, golden earrings, bracelets, diamonds, and rubies adorn her person. Strings of most costly pearls hang around her neck, all signifying worldliness, sensuality, carnality, pride. That is the outward form of all idolatrous worship, even though it may be told with self-humility and parade itself under the guise of self-sacrifice. Underneath it all is the spiritual fornication that God hates, and the clothes she wears betrays her. This is present-day religion without Christ, minus blood redemption, and a stranger to the new birth. You listen. Then the scripture says she has a golden cup in her hand, full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornication. Let's look into that cup. What do we find? The scripture says abominations, which means full of idolatry, with all of its pollutions, uncleanness, filth, guilt, defilement, impurity, and so on. In other words, she is the very opposite of a poor old sinner who has been brought to repentance at the feet of Christ and has been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made whiter than snow. Yes, that is the way God looks upon religion without Christ. The cup is full, ready to run over. John said, and he saw nothing but pollution and guilt and filthiness and uncleanness, not a particle of goodness or righteousness in it. Every individual without Christ has no natural goodness, no natural righteousness. He is sin. The words sin and sinner are synonymous terms. Sin means sinner. The sinner means sin. And that sinner given over to idolatry is nothing but an abomination in the sight of God. Remember, at this point, the whole world is given over to idolatry and all restraint is gone. Now listen, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. This name in verse 5 identifies the woman. Mystery Babylon, the Great. She's called the mother of harlots, which means she is the fountainhead of all false religions, false systems, as the mother of the abominations of the earth. She is the origin of all idolatrous practice, fleshly corruptions resulting from idolatry. To identify this harlot wife, let's turn to verse 15. Listen. Revelation 17:15. And he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. Therefore, Mystery Babylon is the combination, get it now, or the unification of all the religions of the world without Christ. When Christ comes to take his own out of the world, every blood-bought sinner will be translated and caught up to meet Christ in the air, and the body of every believer will be raised from the dead and caught up with the translated saints to meet Christ in the air. This will leave every religion to itself without Christ, and there'll be and there will be complete unification of Judaism, Romanism, Protestantism, and heathenism in one world church headed by the Antichrist, which will give allegiance to the Antichrist when he comes on the scene. Now let me pause here and drive home this truth. Listen, I'm going to shoot at you. Every one of you who do not know Christ is a member of the harlot wife of the Antichrist. Let me say that again. Every individual who does not know Christ experimentally is a member of the harlot wife of the Antichrist. In these evening shadows, before our Lord comes, the shadows are now falling as forerunners of coming events. There's a world movement to unite all religious bodies into one world church at the present moment. I've watched and studied this movement for the last 25 years or more. I little dreamed I would live to see what I see today. These religious bodies are slowly but surely, get it now, hold it, dropping all the great divisive doctrines of God's Word so that they can unite on a common basis. And they're slowly but surely silencing the voice of every prophet who's crying out against it and battling for the souls of men. It was organized religion that crucified our Lord. Today people are no longer satisfied with simple forms of worship in which Christ is the center, in which Christ is holy and only magnified, in which Christ crucified is our substitute, buried is our scapegoat, raised is our justifier, ascended on high is our righteousness, within the veil is our living high priest and our surety, is a living reality that satisfies every desire and longing of the human heart. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is hated, despised, rejected, because it is offensive. It exposes the human heart, uncovers the filthiness of the human mind, and sets forth salvation as wholly, only, and completely by the grace of God. The average individual wants to be let alone, and one day God's going to leave them alone. He's left most of the world alone right now, and turn them completely over to idolatry and flesh, until they get their fill of flesh. The cry of the world today is for fleshly satisfaction, self-gratification, self-will. Give me flesh. Give me pleasure. Give me money. Give me pleasure is the cry of the flesh today. The nations of the earth are retrograding, drifting backward, rapidly toward dark heathenism. The average music you hear today is the return to the old tom-toms of heathen Africa, the chantings of the witch doctors, which is designed to do one thing, arouse ever lustful passion, sexual desire, and the deep spirit of revolt against the Lord God of heaven, that they can break the bands asunder and give vent to their self-gratification of their old carnal nature, irrespective of their fellow man. It is the wine of old Babylon's fornication, both spiritual and physical, and the cup is now being filled with the abominations and the filthiness of the wine of her fornication. The whole world, religious and otherwise, today is becoming one camp of heathenism, paganism, idolatry, witchcraft, devil worship, demon possession, in their final revolt against the Lord Jesus Christ, the God of glory. And this is setting the stage for the final drama of the world's history when the curtain rises on the revelation of the Antichrist and his world dominion and falls with their judgment of a sin-avenging God upon a Christless world. God help us. You know Christ? If you don't believe what I'm saying, you pick up the average magazine and newspaper. I reviewed many of them before I wrote this article, wrote this message. I will tell you that it will tell you the actual story of what I'm talking about. Don't you close your eyes against the coming judgment. Don't you hide under a little veneer religion. Awake, sinner! Awake! Flee from the city of destruction. Judgment is here. Behold, the judge standeth at the door. Are you going down with the deluge of the wine of her fornication? Or will you dare to stand out alone with Christ as God's substitute for sinners? I want you to notice verse 6, which describes the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. The woman is a phrase that carries with it all the force of harlotry. The mother of harlots, she's a drunken woman. I have dealt with drunken men and women, as well as drunken women. But I believe the most disgusting, horrifying, filthy sight that ever laid eyes on is a drunken woman. Man cannot fall as low in the scale of morals as a woman. A woman who is a drunken woman has lost all of her chastity, all her morals, all her beauty, all her womanhood. And usually she is spoken of as the woman of the street. So God looks upon this mystic Babylon, the idol worship, as a drunken woman, as a woman of the street. You get that? Notice that she is not drunken on alcohol, but she's drunken on the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. Her whole desire, all her energy, all her devilish wisdom, all her hellish knowledge, all her false doctrines, everything about her unchastity in her religious state is pitted against the saints of God to cause them to suffer, to kill them, destroy them, put an end to them, get them out of the way, because their testimony condemns them and puts a fly in the ointment of her pleasure and self-seeking. She's drunken with the blood of the saints. That is all the saints in general, which this idolatrous wife has put to death through the ages by scourging, by imprisonments, by stoning, by sawing asunder, by slaying with the sword, and by driving into the desert to be tormented, afflicted, and starved to death. But it also says she was drunken with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, which refers to her war on the Jews who turned to the Lord Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. In Revelation 12:17, referring to the Jewish remnant, John tells us, listen, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went and made war with the remnant of her seed, which is Jewish, which kept the commandments and the testimony of Jesus. Every Orthodox Jew looks for the Christ, the Messiah, but the Jewish nation as such rejected Jesus of Nazareth as their Messiah. The angel said to Joseph, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. For a Jew to accept Jesus, the son of the Virgin Mary, means he accepts him as the Messiah. This means ostracism. The blood of the martyrs of Jesus refers here to the remnant of the Jews who came out and accepted Jesus of Nazareth as their Messiah. Only eternity will reveal the cruelty and the slaughter of the children of Israel who take their stand for Jesus as their Messiah when their blood cries out for vengeance unto the Lord. And I believe he is referring here specifically to the 144,000 Jews mentioned in Revelation 14. Also Revelation 7, who are redeemed from the earth during the tribulation period. Will you just let me say a frank word right here? You can hate the Lord Jesus Christ. You can persecute his followers, whether Jew or Gentile, if God permits you. You can put us to death if God permits you. But at the judgment bar of God, you're going to answer for it. There's a judgment. God is going to judge the harlot wife of the Antichrist. He hates her. God hates idolatry. God hates fornication. God hates harlotry. God hates anything that comes between him and the human soul. Everyone who permits any other God to stand between him and the true God will be called into judgment by the Almighty God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, in the 2 or 3 minutes I have, I'll give you another message on the 17th chapter of Revelation next Sunday. Let me call your attention by way of contrast to the wife of the Lamb. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now that's over there in that 19:8. Notice that the wife of the Lamb isn't called the woman here. She's called his wife. Notice how she is dressed in Revelation 19:8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed, clothed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. What a contrast. She is dressed in fine linen, not arrayed in a scarlet-colored dress, but fine linen, clean and white. This symbolizes the righteousness of God. She's adorned in the righteousness of God, which is Christ. She has the beauty of Christ upon her. She is clean. There is no filthiness, no abomination, or anything that maketh a lie. She stands out spotless and arrayed in the perfect righteousness of the Son of God. The wife of the Lamb is a virgin. The wife of the Antichrist is a harlot. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12:2, where the wife of the Lamb is spoken of by Paul, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. And Paul speaks of the Lamb's wife in the Ephesians, to the Ephesian elders. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The Lord Jesus has purchased his wife with his own blood, and she is washed clean in the blood of the Lamb, and made whiter than snow. He said, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What a contrast between the virgin wife of the Lamb and the harlot wife of the Antichrist. Paul said again, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself, get it holded, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Praise God, I'm a member of that church. I'm a member of the bride of Christ, washed in the blood of the Son of God. Are you?